Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 22 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. Now, today we're going to be talking about something that everyone can relate to, how women can successfully enter or re-enter the workforce. I saw the hands go up saying, bring it on, let's talk about it. And we have a fantastic expert to help us understand, to navigate through those treacherous waters. And that's Lisa Hufford. But before we start, I want to make sure you know that this episode of Her is made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, then go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And a quick reminder, hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate this podcast and review us. Yeah, we actually read these things. We love to welcome your thoughts. So bring it on. All right, it's time for Her.
Her. The podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life. It's all about her.
Now, on this episode, we're going to be talking about, so you want to enter or re-enter the workforce, and our expert is Lisa Hufford. Now, she founded Simplicity Consulting in 2006 as a result of her own shift from the corporate world to the world of consulting. Simplicity Consulting is a specialized talent solutions company with expertise in marketing that delivers results for companies including, Microsoft, Amazon, T-Mobile, and even more. In 2011, Inc. magazine named Lisa one of the top 10 female entrepreneurs and has named Simplicity Consulting one of America's fastest growing private companies 5 years in a row. Also, Lisa has been chosen as an Ernst & Young Entrepreneurial Winning Woman and just launched her newest book. Oh boy, I love this book. You better get it too, Navigating the Talent Shift. Lisa, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Well, thanks. I'm so excited to be here, Dr. Peek.
Well, you know, you started this whole thing by really learning how to balance your own motherhood and your corporate career. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I think about 10 years ago, I was climbing that proverbial career ladder as a director at Microsoft. I'd always been on the sales and account management side, and I thought that's what I wanted to do was run a big global sales company. And after I had my second child, I realized I was at a crossroads. And what I know now is so many women and men, but especially women, kind of face this when they're very career-driven, they're very successful. And after about 14 years in the corporate world, I found myself asking different questions about what success meant in my career. And I kind of went on my own search and realized that I wanted to have more flexibility, control over my schedule, and what would that look like? How do I take my experience and kind of package it up and really go out there and kind of live the life I wanted? And a colleague suggested I should try consulting. And I talk a lot about mindset because back then I had a very, I would say, fixed mindset because I didn't see myself as a consultant. I didn't understand what that meant. I thought those were people at big, you know, Accenture and big consulting companies. And what I realized is I had unique skills and gifts and talents by working like so many of us do, and I was completely overlooking kind of my uniqueness and my greatness and how valuable my skills were in the marketplace as a consultant. So when I made the shift, I learned that really quickly, and then and very shortly thereafter, I realized a lot of people were in the same boat, and this wasn't just me kind of looking for this lifestyle. It really was a trend, and that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book.
So you're kind of in a place, have been there, done that, and now what you wanted to do is share that expertise, experience, and a real passion. Sounds like you're pretty passionate about this, you know, with other women. And so when someone is beginning to consider that whole entering or re-entering the workforce, what are some of the biggest mistakes they make?
Yeah, I think what I see often after really coaching and working with thousands of people, you know, mainly women who've had over 10 years, some 20 years of corporate experiences, we get very close-minded in thinking about our skills and one way to look at our jobs and our careers. And you know, it's no secret nowadays, everything's moving to a project-based, I call it the project-based world we now live in, and it's really just starting to escalate. And a big part of it is this is really the millennial generation. We all know they're the largest generation to enter the workforce, and they really look at their career in a completely different way than, say, the baby boomers or even my generation, which is Generation X. And they really look at how, you know, what kind of experiences they want to get and what they, not only for themselves, but what they want to give to a company or a situation. And it might be on a project basis. It might be as a full-time employee. It might be part-time. It might be full-time. It might be for a year or a few years. And they really value their kind of overall career, I'll put that in a broader perspective, in a very different way than I think many of us traditionally. So the biggest mistake I think I see is people don't realize how many options they have. And one of the most rewarding things that I get to do every day, I love it when I get to meet with new people going through this transition. And when I say that word, options and choices, I see the light bulb go off and people say, what? I didn't know I had so many options and choices. When we really look at their entire work experience or portfolio of all the work they've done, the results they've delivered to companies, I think for many of us, taking that time to really reflect on what you've accomplished is very empowering, and that is the fastest way to build your confidence. Many people, especially women, really come up against this confidence, and they think, I don't know if I can do it. How can I do it? And the bottom line is we all have that ability to tap the confidence, and the biggest key to that is remembering what you've done really well and really taking time to articulate that story and the results. And the more you practice that, talking about that, those are the facts about what you've done, you're going to be able to be confident out there. And then you won't let kind of that self-doubt creep in or that, gosh, I wonder if I can do that. So those are some, when I think about mistakes, I think some people really underestimate their abilities and they just don't know all of the options and choices out there that are available to them.
What makes entering the workforce versus re-entering the workforce different? What's different about those two processes? You know, you've got maybe someone who just, you know, finished their master's in business or even just finishing college, and now they're going to enter the workforce versus someone who either was in the workforce for a while, most people have been, and then they took time off for whatever, and in case of woman, you know, it's usually the caregiving with the kid thing, and now they're reentering. What makes those two processes different, are they?
Yeah, that's a great question. In the past couple of years, I've been working with a lot of college students, and I'll tell you, one of the big differences I see versus when I left college about 20 years ago now was the focus on internships coming out of college. I don't ever remember a time where there was such integration between your school and the corporate world, and the younger generation, they get it. And I see I'm on a couple boards of a couple business schools, and the deans are active in working with the local businesses to form tighter relationships because at the end of the day, they want those students to be able to find really great jobs. And for those employers, huge win because they're able to really tap this great talent and mold them and shape them. So I think when I see the younger student, people coming right out of college, what I see many of them have is not just one intern. Like back when I went to school, I had one internship, and I thought that was great, and I got a job from that. But I see them having 4 and 5 internships. They start when they're even freshmen and sophomores having internships. And so they are ready. They have a visibility on the world. Now, they don't know everything yet, of course. They don't have that real-world experience. But they have kind of an indication and enough to know if they've had mentors that of where they think they can add value. I also see the younger generation having this really open, fresh perspective. Of course, for those of us that have been around a while, we have to mentor them and train them into the real world of doing things. But I also find myself asking a lot of questions because they do see the world different than me. And then on the flip side, for many of us who've been in the corporate world for a long time, I think re-entering, I find that's actually, from my perspective, I think that's harder for some people because one of the questions I hear all the time from women, especially women who take time off to raise kids, is there's this guilt they have of, oh, am I really going to be able to come back? Or is someone really going to want to hire me? And I tell them all the time, you're the only one feeling that way. If your potential hiring manager is looking at you and questioning why you took time off to raise your children, then that's probably not the right hiring manager because they don't share the same values. I see hiring managers all the time who are so grateful to get women who are coming back into the workforce because they know they're hungry and they know they are grateful and they know they're going to go above and beyond to prove themselves. And I also say it's just
I love that.
Yes.
I just love that because what you're doing is you're tapping into a real need out there. And that's people who are now just avidly focused on, you know, really enjoying the experience, pushing their own envelope. And also, you know, in many respects, and this is normal, they have to prove themselves now.
Absolutely.
They have to say, okay, it's a new world, and you know, Lord knows, every nanosecond technology changes again. And, you know, if you've been out of the workforce for 5-10 years, whoopsies. Do you recommend, I mean, and how do you handle this with your work with Simplicity Consulting? How do they ramp up their skills? What do you do with them?
Yeah, we do this all day long. So of our 300 consultants that are actively working today, 75% happen to be women with an over 10 years of average corporate experience that are really choosing to work in a project-based way. So one of the things I say to women is it's really, or anyone for that matter, but it tends to be mostly women with this scenario, that it's really like riding a bike. You don't forget how to do it, but if you haven't ridden a bike in a few years, you know you can get on that bike and ride it once you've learned it. You don't have to relearn riding a bike. And work, in many ways, although you're totally right, technology is changing, maybe some of the tools you use change, but really the way you work, your reputation, you know, I talk a lot about personal brand, which I define as the intersection of your strengths and your passions. You know, your reputation and what you did in your previous life before you decided to step out of the workforce, that stays with you forever. And so one of the things I didn't know now that it's really clear to me is in my 20s, you know, I was building my reputation. I was building networks. I was building relationships like we all do. We all have great opportunities. And I was very conscious never to burn a bridge. And I think that what I know now is that has really benefited me because people remember, we all remember working with those really high performers, even early on in their careers. And those people had that ability so they can come back and do it. So it's really interesting what I see is people really reach out to, first of all, who they know, and that's been based on experiences. So the first thing I say to people who are reentering is, number one, look at your entire career of what you've done and really be honest about what you most love. What's the work that just lights you up more than anything? And get really clear on that, because then you're just going to naturally be confident, you're going to shine, you're going to be excited, and that's what every employer wants, or client, in this case with project-based work. They want you to be excited, have a great attitude, come in every day, and you can't fake that if you're doing work that you're not really excited about. So get out there and really get focused on on the work that you're really most excited about. And then the second most important tip is create a list of people that you know, you like, and you trust that you've worked with over your entire career. And it doesn't have to be a long list. You only need one person to hire you at a time. You don't need 10. So even if it's only 3 or 5 people that you're like, gosh, I just had a great working relationship with that person. I know that they are probably really overwhelmed right now and could use someone like me to pitch in and help them out. Just, you never know, reach out to these people and let them know that you're thinking about project-based work. Hey, you know what I can do. I have that advice I've given for 10 years now, and I can tell you, most people that I give that to, again, it's this light bulb. They never thought about it that way, and they never thought about themselves. They're adding value to clients. They're not like you're desperately looking for a job. You're adding value, and these clients need what you have. They desperately need your skills. They're all overworked, and they want help. So if you can help them, if you really come at it from that perspective, then you really can carve a niche for yourself and really create the life you want.
You know what I really love about what you're saying, Lisa, and your wonderful work at Simplicity Consulting, is that you take women especially, and I'm going to get real gender specific here, many of whom, and maybe a little bit global here also, may not have the world's greatest sense of self-esteem and self-confidence, and now they're either entering or re-entering the workplace, and they really have to confront that. They have to really say, okay, well, how about that power pose from Ann Cuddy's wonderful TED Talk? How about being able to project yourself well? You know, this is beyond just, you know, cranking out a degree or having one particular kind of expertise. What you're actually saying then is go beyond that, right? Where is that passion? Where is that, wow, this is why I get up in the morning kind of feeling? And then with that, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, would come a lot more self-confidence because you're so passionate about it. It's like, bring it on. This is something that really turns me on. Let's do it. Does that make sense to you, Lisa? Is that kind of where you go with this?
Exactly. I think what I see so often, I talk about confidence so much because you're so right, Dr. Peake. Confidence is probably the number one most conversational topic in my office with people, especially reentering the workforce. And a lot of it, I believe, in observing this in myself and many others, is really consciously managing those self-limiting thoughts that we all have. We all have those self-doubts that pop up, and recognizing that they're really not serving us. And what I find the best way to combat that is to really write down the facts of what you've done, the facts of the work and the results you've delivered. If you can even get to the ROI, that's even better. Because when you focus on the facts and the evidence of who you are and the work you've done, and you look at that and you look at that again, and when you're having a bad day, you go back and look at that, you remind yourself, that's right, I have contributed. I can be successful. I have been successful, and therefore I can be successful again. And that confidence, and back to your point about you really have to step into your place of what you love to do. And that's probably going to change over your life, right? We all want to grow and change and learn. So if you're like a great writer today, maybe you'll want to be a writer in 10 years, but maybe your skills will evolve and you'll want to do something else. And that's okay. But constantly being really in touch with, what is it that I really love to do and want to do? Because like I said, yeah, you can't hide that with the client. The client picks up, we all know this, the client picks up on nonverbal. When we talk to somebody, it's really 80%. I think spread something 90% is our nonverbal communication. It's not our verbal that people really read. And if we're feeling kind of low on our confidence and thinking, gosh, I'm not sure if they're going to hire me. I wonder if they're going to see that gap on my resume. Oh my gosh. The client might pick up on, like, gosh, I'm not feeling like this person is confident, knows what they do, even though they might have all the right words on the resume. So a lot of it is really about, first of all, each of us believing, and we have to do this work. I call it this deep kind of defining your story. We all have to do this work, whether you work with a career coach or a life coach. If you need that, reach out. There's so many great resources. Because until we believe it about ourselves, nobody else is going to believe it. And it's not about being arrogant and boastful. That's a really important point. Most women say, oh, I feel like I'm being arrogant and braggadocious. I'm like, no, not if you talk about the facts of what you've done. This is just the evidence. And we all need to
Well, I think that's a big problem with women.
Yes.
I think women, you know, feel that, you know, it's so funny, men don't. This whole issue of what we call SSP, shameless self-promotion, you know, and where you know, women find it oftentimes very difficult to tout toot their own little, you know, horn and tout their expertise. But you said it really well. And these are facts. You know, you either have an MBA or you don't, or you have this level of expertise or you don't. I mean, these are just simply facts. It's not like you've got a cheerleading squad, you know, screaming for you outside the door. Speaking of which, you know, you do something really interesting. I think, you know, after knowing your wonderful work and looking at the book, which is just fabulous, that's Navigating the Talent Shift, and knowing the DNA of what you do, what you actually are is a matchmaker. Mm-hmm. Because you work with large corporations like Microsoft and others, and you also work with people either entering or re-entering the workforce. So you're kind of pairing them. You're matchmaking. Mm-hmm. And I hope you have, and I know for a fact that you have a heck of a lot better return on investment than Match.com. you know, you're doing you're doing a lot more intense vetting, et cetera. So how do you tee up a woman for a really successful interview? What are some tips?
Yeah, great. Great question. So when you're going in for the interview, this is when you have to spend a lot of time doing this upfront. What I was talking about is define your story, work before you, what I call tell your story. So an interview or getting on LinkedIn, updating your profile, that's all the tell your story piece of the equation, which most people are just doing and they're not really thinking about what they're saying or how they're projecting. And this is where some mistakes kind of happen, because most often people haven't really done that deep reflective work on what am I the go-to person for? What do I love to do? What's effortless for me? Like, what would I do if I didn't get paid to do it? Spend some time really thinking about those skills and then showing the evidence of the work, that, of what you've done to prove that out, and get really clear. One of the best tips I give is talking about your professional success stories. So in an interview, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to get the kind of generic questions, you know, depending on, you know, tell me about yourself, what have you done, how do you manage work, how do you work with people, you know, we kind of, all these kind of generic questions. And really, what the, if you put yourself in that client's shoes, the hiring manager's shoes, what they're trying to get at is, are you going to help me be successful? Are you really going to help me succeed? Or are you kind of going to be a pain and I'm going to have to manage you? I mean, that's really what every manager is thinking subconsciously. And so what you want to do is, in a weird way, what I tell people is take yourself out of it. Don't make this all about you. Make this about the client. And have your professional success stories of work you've done very succinct. Ideally, have three words that you want the client to walk away saying about you. Whatever, this is back to your brand. What is it that you want them to say? Do you want them to say you're smart, you're committed, and you're resourceful? Let's say if those are your three words, then create three stories of how you've demonstrated that in your previous work, very short stories. What was the problem? What was the solution? And then basically what you'd want to do is lead the client. So whatever they ask you, you want to say, that's a great question. Let me tell you about how I was resourceful. Boom, and my story for 30 seconds. Now in the next one. So what you're doing is you're painting a picture of them of how I've already done this work and I'm going to do it for you. And then the real kicker of people can do this, and I see this all the time, is don't even call it an interview. Call it a working session. Then get right into the client about their business. Say, okay, so I'm thinking what I know of your business. This is your problem. And then here's how some ideas of how I might solve it. You know, I know I don't have all the information, but does that make sense? And then the client is going to probably say, well, what about this and what about that? Have you thought about that? And then now you're already treating it like day one on the job. It's not even an interview. And then they walk away thinking, oh my God, I had such a great discussion and this person's going to do all these things for me. I've got to hire them. Like, it's a no-brainer, right? But that's
back. I love it.
You have to be confident to be able to have that.
Well, I love it. Well, yeah. You know, what you've done is you've given them some fantastic tools to be able to be prepared, and to what you've also done, which I love, and I know everyone could read about this in your book, Navigating the Talent Shift, is you've reframed what an interview actually is. Instead of some, you know, nail-biting, nightmare, anxiety-ridden experience, you know, you've turned it around on its head. And you said, wait a minute, let's just turn this into a working session, okay? And first of all, you better do your homework about the company. Hello.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's sort of a bottom line. If you haven't done that, oh, well. So that's one of the first pieces. And the second thing is to really be able to create a story about who you are. And I think the, you know, using multiple examples that exemplify your own story is a brilliant tool and a great idea, Lisa, that, you know, you teach these people, because I think a lot of women have trouble doing that. I think they sort of, you know, again, it's that I'm tooting my own horn thing, but they're not realizing, no, you're just clarifying. Just, you know, oftentimes what I'll do is I'll say to a woman, you know, if you're describing your child to a teacher, you're going to tell stories. Well, for instance, my child does XYZ. That's the way my child approaches things. Well, you just told a story. Well, what about telling a story about you? You know, and, and that's what this is all about. I love that. That's fantastic. And of course, there's the usual how you comport yourself in these things. And, you know, again, I constantly go back to that power pose thing. You know, you don't want to come off arrogantly, but you certainly want to not be staring at the floor the whole time and feeling down on yourself. What other exercises do you give them to kind of, as it were, pump themselves up? I mean, you know, like I like things like, did you do some physical activity that day ahead of time? You know, did you do something that kind of really truly does get you pumped up?
Yeah, that's a great one. Exercise. I love the power poses. And, you know, I'm a big fan, I learned this from you, of encouraging people to meditate or just sit quietly, clear their minds, because we're all so busy and running around, and really focus on the value that you're going to add. Remember, you are there to offer a gift to this hiring manager, and if they don't take your gift, that's okay. Don't take it personally. It's not a personal thing. It's just business, but you have a gift to offer, and that's connecting your value to the value the company needs.
Okay, excellent. I absolutely love that. So, you know, as people, as women are, you know, going through all of this, you know, experience, what I'd like you to do right now is take a moment and just do one single tip for a woman entering the workplace and then a woman re-entering the workplace, a tip for each of those two women.
Okay. Well, I think thinking about your values and what's most important to you and finding companies that match those values is by far the most important thing, really, for both audiences. And so especially for the younger generation, really mapping, because you're going to be excited about going into work every day and doing whatever your job is if your values align. And then for those women that are re-entering the workforce, I think that values exercise is also very important to feel successful, but also really taking that hard look at what your work experience shows. What are the results and the outcomes you've delivered? And when you think about all the work you've done over the previous years, when have you felt like you were on top of the world? When did you feel like you just nailed it? You loved what you did. You were successful. That's a clue that you want to do more of that kind of work.
I absolutely love that. And I hope everyone out there in her podcast land was listening in, taking copious notes, and then bag the notes, just go buy the book. We've been talking to Lisa Hufford, the author of Navigating the Talent Shift, as she gives us wit and wisdom as we're talking about the whole issue of how women can successfully enter or re-enter the workforce. There's a lot of layers to this, everything from just establishing self-confidence and self-worth and using this as a perfect experience to be able to nail that. At the same time, looking for that passion, the passion in your work. Don't just settle. Find that passion. And I think when you read Navigating the Talent Shift and listen to the podcast again and again, you'll be hearing Lisa Hufford gift you with the knowledge, tools, tips, and techniques on how to be able to start the entire journey and end it successfully and keep that sucker going too at the same time. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And I want everyone who wants to learn more about Lisa's work, go to lisahufford.com, as well as simplicityci.com. And of course, get on over and buy the book, Navigating the Talent Shift, to learn how you can successfully enter or re-enter the workforce. Oh boy, this has been such a great episode. And remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Well, because we want to attract more people just like you to the show, and that happens when you take the time to rate it. While you're there, can you please leave a review as well? Hey, we read these things, and we love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and please stay well.